ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 श्रीमद्भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 25 The glories of devotional service, text 20. Prasangam,
prasangam
ajaram,
ajaram,
pasham,
pasham
atmanah, kavayo,
kavayo
biduhu,
biduhu
sa,
sa
eva,
eva
sadhushu,
sadhushu
krito,
krito
mokshadvaram,
mokshadvaram
apapritam,
apapritam.
Prasangam ajaram pasham,
prasangam ajaram pasham
atmanah kavayo viduhu,
atmanah kavayo viduhu
sa eva sadhusu krita,
sa eva sadhusu krita
mokshadvaram apapritam,
mokshadvaram apapritam
prasangam ajaram pasham,
prasangam ajaram pasham
atmanah kavayo viduhu,
atmanah kavayo viduhu
sa eva sadhusu krito,
sa eva sadhusu krito
mokshadvaram apapritam,
mokshadvaram apapritam
prasangam ajaram pasham,
prasangam ajaram pasham
atmanah kavayo viduhu,
atmanah kavayo viduhu
sa eva sadhusu krito,
sa eva sadhusu krito
mokshadvaram apapritam,
mokshadvaram apapritam
prasangam,
prasangam
attachment,
attachment
ajaram,
ajaram
strong,
strong
pasham,
pasham
entanglement,
entanglement
atmanah,
atmanah
of the soul,
of the soul
kavayo,
kavayo
learned men,
learned men
viduhu,
viduhu
no,
no
sa eva,
sa eva
that same,
that same
sadhushu,
sadhushu
to the devotees,
to the devotees
kritaha,
kritaha
applied,
applied
mokshadvaram,
mokshadvaram
the door of liberation,
the door of liberation
apabritam,
apabritam
opened.
Okay.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Please repeat after me. Every learned man knows very well,
every learned man knows very well
that attachment for the material,
that attachment for the material
is the greatest entanglement,
the greatest entanglement
of the spirit soul.
Of the spirit soul.
But that same attachment,
but the same attachment
when applied to the self-realized devotee,
when applied to the self-realized devotee
opens the door of liberation.
Opens the door of liberation.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of bondage in conditional life, and the same attachment, when applied to something else, opens the door of liberation. Attachment cannot be killed. It has simply to be transferred. Attachment for material things is called material consciousness, and attachment for Krishna or his devotee is called Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, therefore, is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. Despite the statement that one should give up attachment, desirelessness is not possible for a living entity. A living entity by constitution has the propensity to be attached to something. We see that if someone has no object of attachment, if he has no children, then he transfers his attachment to cats and dogs. This indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Our attachment for material things perpetuates our conditional state. But the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotee, is the source of liberation. Here it is recommended that attachment should be transferred to the self-realized devotees, the sadhus. And who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or long beard. A sadhu is described in Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service. Even though one is found not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna, the Supreme Person, he is understood to be a sadhu. Sadhu reva samantapya. A sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service. It is recommended here that if one at all wants to realize Brahman or spiritual perfection, his attachment should be transferred to the sadhu or devotee. Lord Chaitanya also confirmed this, labha matra sadhu sange sarva siddhi hoy. Simply by a moment's association with a sadhu, one can attain perfection. Mahatma is a synonym of sadhu. It is said that service to a Mahatma or elevated devotee of the Lord is dwaram ahur bimukte, the royal road of liberation. Mahat sevam dwaram ahur bimukte, tamad dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2. Rendering service to the materialist has the opposite effect. If anyone offers service to a gross materialist or a person engaged only in sense enjoyment, then by association with such a person, the door of hell is opened. The same principle is confirmed here. Attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord, because if one associates with a sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, a worshipper, and a sincere servitor of the Lord. These are the gifts of a sadhu. If we want to associate with a sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instruction on how to improve our material condition, but he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contamination of material attachment, material attraction, and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is the result of associating with a sadhu. Kapila Muni first of all instructs that the path of liberation begins with such association. This chapter, as we have been discussing, is very, very wonderful. It's very important, and it is giving us a very systematic understanding how to progress on spiritual path. The previous verse described, let us go back. Na yujya manaya bhakta bhagavat akhilatmani sadrishosti shibo pantha yoginam brahma siddhaye. Perfection in self-realization cannot be attained by any kind of yogi unless he engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that is the only auspicious path. So, the previous verse actually pointed out that although there are various processes for spiritual advancement. Actual spiritual advancement cannot be accomplished unless and until one develops loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the bottom line is devotional service. Somebody may be a great karmi, but he won't be a karma yogi unless and until he becomes a devotee of the Lord. Somebody may be a great jnani, he won't become a jnana yogi unless and until he becomes a devotee of the Lord. Somebody may be a very advanced ashtanga yogi or dhyana yogi, he won't become, yogi, like an expert in asana and pranayama, etc. But unless and until he develops his devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he won't become an ashtanga yogi or yogi in that sense. Generally, the process of yoga nowadays is applied to the ashtanga yoga practitioners. Because common people think that yoga means the practice of this ashtanga yoga, which includes yam, niyam, asana. Not even yam, niyam, asana. Mainly asana. And little bit of pranayama. But no yam and niyam. And then after pranayama comes what? Pratyahara. The goal of pranayama, breathing control, is pratyahara. Actually the purpose of these systems nowadays has become just a physical practice, to have a good health. But the ultimate goal should be the spiritual advancement. And so in today's verse, it has been pointed out that attachment to matter is the cause of conditional life. When one remains attached to matter, he is stuck in this material. But the same attachment, when applied to a devotee, then this attachment develops into Krishna consciousness. That attachment leads to Krishna. So you see how systematically Kapil Muni is going from state by state. Like previously he pointed out that unless and until one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he cannot make spiritual advancement. All these different processes will not lead to spiritual advancement unless and until it is mixed or it is with devotion. And now he is actually explaining how can one become a devotee. That is the main point. Previously he established that devotion is the means to become free from material entanglement. He may establish that point. How devotion is the only means to become free from material entanglement. Like somebody may be a very expert in Ashtanga Yoga, like he may be meditating in the Himalayan mountain for hundreds of years, not eating, not sleeping. But will he be able to become free from his material entanglement just by doing that? No. As we gave the example yesterday, like if we want to live in somebody's house, we have to have the approval of that person, the lord of the house. Without the approval of the lord of the house, we cannot stay in the house. We may enter in the house, but we won't be able to stay. So who is the lord of the spiritual world? Krishna. So without Krishna's approval, we cannot have the permission to stay there. Just as we cannot go to a country and stay in that country without the approval of the government, which is called the visa. So you have the visa, you can go stay there. You don't have the visa, even though you have your own aircraft, even though you may have your own rocket, you may have your own Pushpak Viman, but you won't be able to stay there without unless and until you have the visa. So that point has been established. that approval of the Lord means you be submissive to the Lord and be accepted by Him. And that is the meaning of becoming a devotee. Now in this verse, what Kapil Muni is doing is telling us how to become a devotee. How can one become a devotee? And he is actually, before making that point, he made a little prelude. What is the prelude? He again reminded us that the attachment to material objects will cause us bondage to the material nature. But the same attachment, when applied to a devotee, that will become the cause of our liberation. Going back to the same point, why it will become the cause of liberation? Because by association with a devotee, we can become a devotee. Bhakti can be achieved only by the association of a bhakta. So that is the point he is actually making here. The devotional service, if you want to become a devotee, what is the means? If you perform great austerities, will you be able to become a devotee? Answer is no. If you perform all kinds of yogas, karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, will you be able to become a devotee? No. What is the means to become a devotee? What is the secret of becoming a devotee? Association with devotees. So this association again is synonymous to attachment. The more attached we are to a devotee, the more we will accept his qualities. The more we become attached to a devotee, the more we will accept his instructions and teachings. If I don't have faith in a devotee, I will not accept his teachings. But if I have faith in that person, then I will do whatever the person is telling me to do. So, that is why this attachment is the most important consideration. And see how wonderfully Kapil Dev is pointing that out. You have your attachment. Everybody has to have some attachment or other. Without attachment, we cannot exist. Like that also we can systematically see. Like living entity to be means to be conscious. Isn't it? When you are unconscious, are we or are we not? When you are sleeping, are we existing or are we not existing? We don't know. So our existence is synonymous to consciousness. Now, consciousness means desire. Consciousness and desire go hand in hand. You cannot be conscious and not desire. When you're conscious, you have to desire. When you wake up, you have to think of so many different things. Those thinking of things is actually desire. I want food. I want nice arrangements. I want a nice accommodation. I want a nice dress. I want. So this I want is the desire. We are always desiring something. We are always wanting something. Especially when you're deprived of that, that desire becomes intensified. We may not be aware of it when you are surrounded by it, but the moment it is not there, immediately we become conscious or aware of the desire. For example, consider you didn't have any food for one day. What will happen to you? What will happen to you? Will you say it's all right? You'll be craving for food. That craving for food is the desire. Somebody comes and closes your mouth and you knows it. What will happen? Or somebody comes and puts a pillow on your mouth and just tries to suffocate you. What will you do? You'll be struggling. So that is the desire, to struggle for air. That is the desire. So this is the desire. Like we may say that, well, I don't have any desire. Let's see. We won't get food for 3 days. And let us see if we are free from desire. How many of you will become free from desire? If you don't have any food for 3 days. How many of you will be free from desire if somebody comes and suffocates you? So desire is always there. But the thing is, we have to shift our desire. And this desire is the attachment. Desire for things is attachment. So you can see, consciousness, desire, attachment go hand in hand. So Kapil Devi is therefore pointing out that attachment has to be there. You can't be without attachment. Just as Prabhupada pointed out, people cannot stay without attachment. Like we see in the Prabhupada of course mentioned here, if somebody doesn't have a child, doesn't have a son to become attached to, he becomes attached to his cats and dogs. And nowadays we see that in spite of having their children, people are attached to cats and dogs. Because when the children reject them, their wife rejects them. When everybody rejects them, they develop their attachment to their, to man's best friend, a dog. And at least a dog is so faithful, the dog will not leave the master. That's one thing in the dog. Your son may leave you, your wife may leave you, your friends may leave you, but your dog will not leave you. That's one thing that you must learn from a dog also. Faithfulness, yeah. Because a dog is faithful, it becomes attached to his master. And that's why the Vaishnavas feel that I want to become the dog of Krishna. Or the dog of the Vaishnavas. Meaning that I want to develop the same kind of attachment to you, same kind of loyalty to you. So we cannot stay without attachment, we have to be attached to something. That means we have to love. Ultimately, what is this attachment? Attachment is love. We have our love in our heart, and that is again synonymous to consciousness. We are conscious, we desire, and the desire is actually love. Desire for something is a love, and that is the attachment. So when we love something, when we love somebody, we become attached to that person. And then the way our attachment is, we will go in that direction. Our consciousness will go in that direction. We are attached to something material, we'll remain in the material nature. Jang jang bapi smaran bhavam. Jang jang bapi smaran bhavam. Tajat tante kalevam. So as one develops his attachment, accordingly comes his obsession of the mind, smaran. We love something and we always think of that. When you buy a new car, you fall in love with the car, don't you? And then what do? You always think of the car. A young man falls in love with a young girl. What does he do? What happens to him? He's always thinking of her. So this is what love is. Love is obsession of our consciousness or mind, we can simply say. So as we become attached, as we develop our love, accordingly our mind will react. And wherever our deepest attachment is, wherever our deepest love is, that will be the deepest thought. And that will be the thought at the time of our death. And accordingly, we'll get our next body. If our attachment is for something material, we'll come back to fulfill that desire, to get that object, or reflect our love into that object. We may not meet, but at least the impression of that object will be there. We may not say somebody is attached to his girlfriend. If someone is attached to his girlfriend, and if he thinks about that at the time of death, what will happen? He'll come back again, but he won't meet that person again. But what will happen? Because of that, he will develop a woman's body. That is how it works. Somebody is attached to a dog. What will happen? At the time of death, if he'll think of his dog, and thinking of the dog, he'll leave his body and he will get a dog's body. Somebody is very attached to his house. Yes, he'll come back to his house in the next life, but in what form? Not as the master of the house, but maybe as the cockroach of the house. Sometimes they come as a snake and guard the house. Then nobody should be allowed to come to the house. Whenever somebody comes, just opens his hood and chases him away. So this is how it works. It's a science. It follows a specific system. Wherever your attachment is, there he will be. That will be the result in your next life. Accordingly, you'll get the next body. Jang jang bapi smaran bhavam tajatante kalevaram. Kalevar means body. Tajatante means he leaves his body. Tang tang eveti kantya sada tadbhava bhavita. Because he had been always thinking of that. That will be his next destination. So on the other hand, if we develop our attachment to a sadhu, then what will happen? When you are alive, what will the sadhu do? Sadhu will guide us to the spiritual path. A sadhu will lead us to Krishna. So that is the difference. Material attachment will bring us towards matter, and attachment to a spiritual personality will take us to the spiritual reality. A sadhu or a devotee or a Vaishnava will always guide us on the spiritual path. Prabhupada pointed out, a sadhu's business is not to develop your material condition. He may not solve your material problems by giving material means, but he solves all your problems by giving you the ultimate spiritual means. And spiritual path is all-encompassing. Like sometimes, although Prabhupada mentioned that the material problems will not be taken care of by a sadhu, or sadhu is not there to just take care of your material problem. But the process that the sadhu shows also takes care of our material problem. That reminds me of an example of an incident. Once some reporters, Prabhupada mentioned that let anybody come. Our doors are open. We can accept anybody. Everybody can come. But they have to follow the four regulative principles and the standard of the temple life. And if one does that, then we are prepared to accept anybody. Follow the four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds, render devotional service in the temple, our door is open to everybody. So the reporters then asked Prabhupada, if everybody comes, what will you do? Prabhupada said, that's none of your business. What we do with them, you don't have to worry about that. The question actually was, how are you going to feed them? Prabhupada said, that's my concern. That's not your, you don't have to worry about it. Let them come. Let them come and we'll fit them. And then later on Prabhupada actually explained that how we can fit the whole world. That we, whatever we get, we offer it to Krishna. And then Krishna's prasad is distributed to everybody. Will there be any hunger for anyone? No. We offer it to Krishna and then distribute Krishna prasad. And we see that we have more than we need. We have more than we need. Anybody can come to the temple and we'll be fed. And what to speak of the inmates of the temple? They have more than enough. Some Ayurvedic doctor once told me that the problem with ISKCON devotees is that they eat too much. Yes, we can see. Prabhupada also said that, let them eat. Prabhupada told me personally, make sure that the devotees get nice prasad. Prabhupada told me that, make sure that the devotees get nice prasad. And then Prabhupada said, that's the only sense gratification they have. Honoring prasad is the only sense gratification devotees have. So give them nice prasad. And we also know Krishna Bada Dayamai Koribare Jiv Bhajai Shaprasad Anna Dilabhai. So, yes. Our principle is Akanta Puriya Kara Prasad Shravan. Akanta means up to here. So eat Krishna prasad up to here. But not that. Not just that. Sarvakshan karo hari naam sankirtan. Eat up to here and to digest that, you chant Hare Krishna. So this is a very, very simple process. So the point is, the point I was trying to make is that when one becomes a devotee, his material problems are also solved. The spiritual life is taken care of, material problems are solved, and spiritual advancement takes place. One makes spiritual advancement automatically, just by being in the association of devotees. If we remain in the association of devotees, practicing the process, we'll make spiritual advancement. And we are seeing that. Those who are in the association of devotees, their spiritual life is intact. Those who are not hankering for the association of devotees, they always have spiritual problems. Those who find faults with the devotees, they can't stay in the association of devotees for too long. They go away, and when they go away, their spiritual life falls apart. I have seen many big leaders of our movement, as they moved away from the spiritual life, their spiritual life got affected. Especially in early days after Srila Prabhupada left, many devotees also left. When Prabhupada left the planet, for various reasons, many devotees also lost this. They left. And then I saw how gradually they drifted away. Sannyasis, very strict sannyasis, living in Vrindavan, Americans, living in Vrindavan, very learned, used to know so many verses, memorized hundreds of verses from the scriptures, very staunch. But when he drifted away from Krishna consciousness, gradually, it didn't happen all of a sudden, but I saw how this very nice sannyasi drifted away. Like he was still maintaining his sannyas order, staying in the house of a devotee's father. At the backyard of the house, he was staying in his father's house. Not his own father's house, one devotee's father's house. Sometimes in American Canada, he was in Canada actually. They have two things, like the big house, main house, and they have something also at the back of the house. They have a lawn, and then at the end there is, or on the side, there is another small house. And he was staying there in the devotee's house. But he was very strictly following. He had his shilas, he was worshipping them, Govardhan Sila, Shaligram Sila. He was very, very staunch, very strict. But then after 1 year, when I inquired how he was, I was told that he got admitted in the university studying law. And then the next year, I got to know that he is working as a lawyer's assistant. He is a vegetarian. He doesn't dress like a sannyasi, naturally, when one goes to university. No, initially he was going to the university dressed as a devotee. But then he started to go to the university dressed in regular clothes. And gradually, eventually, although he was a very staunch sannyasi, eventually he got married over a period of time. But I often think that if he was in the association of devotees, this wouldn't have happened. He was such an exemplary sannyasi. I mean, I used to be amazed the amount of shlokas, Sanskrit shlokas, he memorized. And from that I often think of it, because from this I learned a lesson. The lesson is that no matter whatever happens, I must always remain in the association of devotees. I used to have a lot of appreciation for him. I used to think that he was such an ideal sannyasi. I used to think that I wanted to become like him. Every day he used to get up at 2 o'clock. He used to study scriptures in the morning. Then he used to teach in the Gurukul in Vrindavan. And very strict. And I used to think that if he could deviate, then I should be very, very careful about my spiritual life, my sannyasa ashram. And eventually I saw that if I remain in the association of devotees, the life is safe, we protect it. So that is the benefit of being in the association of devotees. And ultimately, what is the most important thing in our life? The most important thing in our life is our Krishna consciousness. Those who have got this Krishna consciousness, for them there is nothing more important than that. Because everything else will end at the time of death. Our big titles, our big position, our big educational qualification, our big bank balance, our big experience, our big achievements, all will come to an end at the time of death. One may be a big scientist. When he leaves his body, will he have any recognition as a scientist? Or a lawyer, or a businessman? You may have millions of dollars, one may have millions of dollars in his bank account, but when he leaves the body and comes back, and claims to the bank in another body, if he comes back and says, well, in my previous life I left so much money, will they give it to him? Or will he be able to take a single penny with him when he leaves? He may have millions of dollars, and can he say, well, I mean, can I take a few dollars at least with me? So all these will come to an end. But Krishna consciousness will remain as our greatest asset for our next life. Because that asset will remain always with us, because that asset is not relative to the body. That asset is not pertaining to our body. That asset is pertaining to our soul. We leave our body, but the soul continues. So whatever is there with the soul will go with the soul. That is what the spiritual life is. That is what Krishna consciousness is. You develop your, let the soul develop Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is an asset of the soul. We perform Krishna consciousness not with the body. Ultimately, we perform Krishna consciousness not with our mind, our intelligence. Krishna consciousness is executed by the soul. And whatever is benefit, whatever accomplishment is there, through that Krishna consciousness will remain with the soul. Therefore, this is just as soul is eternal, Krishna consciousness is also eternal. So with that in mind, we should be always very cautious. Remain in the association of devotees, no matter how difficult it may be. And if you have developed this attachment to the devotees, then recognize that this is the very wonderful sign. This is the real sign of your spiritual advancement. Develop your attachment to the devotees. And attachment, actually, ultimately attachment means what? I want to be like him. That is the real attachment. I want to be with him, and then I want to be like him. The other day, Nanda Braja was telling me that he loves the devotee, the brahmacharis, which actually means that he wants to be like the brahmacharis. Isn't it? So that is the meaning of the attachment. Shanti Rupa is looking at him. Don't worry, I won't give him saffron. So this internal attachment that we develop appears in the form of appreciation. I would like to be like him. I'd like to be there, living in Brahmachari ashram, proper practicing like this. And this, that's what I think all of us actually felt. When I became attracted to Krishna consciousness, my first thought was, let me move into the temple and let me become like this. That's what I did. I went to Mayapur in the evening, and next morning I shaved up. although I didn't plan it, but because that appreciation was there, and when the devotees started to invite me, why don't you stay here? Why don't you stay and stay with us? And I felt, yes, why not? I always developed the appreciation for this process. I appreciate what they're doing. And especially when I saw what a beautiful life they were leading. And so next morning... Of course, at that time I had a little consideration. I thought that, well, I'm shaving up, but if I don't like it, in 2 months my hair will grow. And I can go back if I don't like it here. But that two months never came. Those 2 months never ended. And I never had to grow my hair beyond 1 month. Prabhupada gave us the formula that shave at least once a month. So, and it's so clean also. And anyway, this process that Kapil Dev is pointing out is actually reconfirming our conviction. We are realizing what a wonderful process we found. The incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is explaining it to us in such a wonderful way. And it makes so much sense. And when you practically apply it, we see the benefit out of it. It's not just some dry speculation. The result is there immediately. Did my life improve? Yes. Do I feel better? Yes. Have I become happier? Yes. Or is it different with anyone else? Ever since you joined Krishna consciousness, do you feel better? Do you feel that your life has improved? Do you feel that you are more satisfied, and you're more content, you're more happy? I'm seeing that Rahul is shaking his head. Although he is working outside, but I'm sure he found another meaning to his life. He's a doctor, he is working. So this is what Krishna consciousness is. Like, you don't have to move into the temple and become a brahmachari as such. If you are a householder, you can, yes. And if you have to maintain your family, you have to work outside, fine, go ahead. What actually has happened? That your attachment has shifted from one to the other. Isn't it? Rahul? You're doing the same thing, but your attachment has shifted. Your attachment has shifted from matter to Krishna. That's the only change. Devotees don't have to run away from, although we want to be detached from material nature, but we don't have to run away from the material nature. We can very well be there in the material nature, but just by shifting our consciousness, we can become spiritualized. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Nanda Braja?
You mentioned that starting point of spiritual life is the association of devotees. Now here, when you look at a devotee, naturally through our mind, we see also his characteristics. So should we not be selective in our approach to association?
Yeah, sure. And again, you know, Prabhupada is saying in this purport that a sadhu or a devotee is not just a matter of saffron cloth and long hair, or short hair, or shaved head. The consideration of a devotee is that his attachment to Krishna. That is what which will determine the degree of one's devotion. Attachment to Krishna. Somebody may not be, as I was giving the example of Rahul. When he goes, I mean, from his appearance, does he look like a devotee? In that sense. He has shaved head. He doesn't have long beard either. And he is not wearing saffron. But we can see, like, at heart he is. So that is the attachment that we are talking about. Attachment to one who is attached to Krishna. That is the sign of the devotee. But at the same time, I'll also say that when you're in the association of devotees, let's not be too critical. Because finding faults when you're in close proximity is very easy. But when you find faults, then, you know, what happens is we take those qualities. When you find the faults, we take that quality of that person. Therefore, instead of finding faults, let's look at the good qualities of the individual. And also another thing that we have to understand, that, you know, most of us are practicing devotees. We haven't achieved perfection. We are practicing. So while you are practicing, many defects will be manifest. Because only at a perfected stage, one will be free from all contamination or all defects. Only a perfect one will be. But you know, like, we have to see that, you know, like, we are surrounded by so many devotees, and obviously, you know, most of them are not perfected devotees, they are practicing devotees. And we have to recognize that we ourselves are also practicing devotees. But aspiring for perfection. Therefore, at this stage, let's not look at the, like, unless one is a teacher, unless one is a leader, unless one is a, like, supervising or guiding others, you know, let us not look at the faults. Yes, a teacher has to correct the students, right? That is his duty. But the students should not be too concerned about the mistakes of others. Rather, he should learn from the mistakes of others. Any other question? Yes, Rahul.
Thank you very much for this wonderful class. Maharaj, normally as a devotee staying outside the temple, we normally have two faces or two parts of the personality. When we are coming to the temple, I'm a totally different person. When I go out and we are dealing with the material world, that time sometimes we have to put aside our, actually every time, most of the time we have to put aside our devotional nature for say, and we have to deal, coming on their platform, we have to deal with those people. So, and that time the Krishna consciousness doesn't even come to the mind. Sometimes we we get entangled in the complexities. Getting into the complexities, trying to correct the material situation, we try to behave in their ways only. So, how to deal with this situation so that we can maintain our Krishna consciousness even outside?
Yeah, very good point. Very good point. you see, it is, you know, this situation is unavoidable, especially when the influence of the material nature is so strong in this age of Kali. Like when you are, and especially when you are, for, due to your occupation, you have to deal with others. Like you see, devotees' situation is different. Those who are living in, devotee means those who are full-time devotees living in the temple. You see, they have shunned themselves off from that outside world. And when they go to the outside world, they go to preach. They're dressed in a certain way that everybody knows that these are not, you know, these are different people, right? And, but you know, like those who are involved in the outside world, their case is different. Like say, for example, you're a doctor or somebody who is running a business. You know, people are not going to treat you as a devotee. People are treating you as they are seeing you in, from their, you know, from their own perspective. And you have to deal with them in that way. Like when you are treating a patient, you have to treat him. And at that time, maybe you won't be able to display your identity as a devotee. You are displaying your identity from the material calculation. And the influence is very strong. Like, you know, like in simple words, who you are associating with. There are two types of association, material association and spiritual association. So that is a material association. And the influence of that association will be there. Therefore, you have to protect yourself. The way to protect yourself in, from that situation is that create a very Krishna conscious atmosphere at home. So when you come back home from your work, then you're back in your constitutional situation, right? And then as you're doing, associating with the devotees. Like this is actually giving you the preventive measure of prophylaxis. It's acting as a prophylactic, preventive measure. Like just the way you go when you deal with a contagious disease, then you take precaution. Similarly, a person dealing with the material nature have to equip himself, you know, with proper protective measures or precautions. Like you don't touch the patient with bare hands. You put on your gloves. You don't keep your nose open. You cover it with, you know. So similarly, you know, when you are dealing with the material nature, you know, you have to treat the nature as a contaminated thing, and you have to, you know, take proper measure. Otherwise, you know, there will be difficulty. But the ultimate protection is the association of devotees. Thank you. Hare Krishna, yes, Dhamini.
Soon as you explained it, so your sadhu should be there. The same attachment should be developed to devotees, but like a sex desire, this attachment, opposite sex, how can shift it to the sadhu?
The opposite, the desire for opposite sex or sex desire is a perverted reflection of the attachment to Krishna. You see, it's the attachment to Krishna when the reflected onto material nature, it appears in the form of sex desire. So the real thing is attachment to Krishna. Now if the reflection is giving certain impression, then can you imagine how wonderful the real one will be? People are attracted to sex life because there is some pleasure involved. Now if the reflection have that kind of pleasure, what kind of pleasure the real relationship is, the relationship with Krishna. So that is what spiritual life actually is. That's why spiritual life is so attractive. Param drishta nivartante, getting the higher taste, one gives up the lower taste. Yes, sex life has some taste, but when you get the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, it becomes disgusting. Alright? Okay. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.